Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Thank you for tuning in today. And if you've been listening to our show, you know we've been talking about the Constitution. We've been covering each amendment as we go along in the process, and we would discuss those. Today, I'm going to pause to talk about something. It's relevant to the Constitution, but the topic today is rewriting history. And there's a lot going on in that area. So the article I'm going to be referring to here, it was printed in The Trumpet. And this was in August of 2001. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it, said poet-philosopher George Santayana. Winston Churchill said, the further you look into the past, the further you can see into the future. Now think about that. But can we truly learn from history when its lessons are constantly being revised and rewritten before our eyes? And you can see that going on. It's so prevalent today in so many different ways.
It teaches you things, but it teaches you wrong things.
Yep. Well, popular today is the revisionism trend, where history is revised seemingly to reflect a more accurate account, when in most cases it is mainly to appease the current social, political, economic, religious, or racial biases of those who record it. Now, this guy that wrote this, Ryan Malone, he had pretty good vision there. He's hit the nail right on the head. It's very relevant to what's going on today. He also goes on to say that revisionism is the advocacy of the revision of an accepted, usually long-standing view, theory, or doctrine, especially a revision of historical events or movements.
Are we in a newspeak era?
Are we in a newspeak
era? A newspeak era where George Orwell wrote the book 1984 about 70 years ago. Just slightly less.
I read it in high school. That was about 70 years.
Newspeak is the ability to just alter history.
Now they call it neuroplasticity. It's got a fancy term for the exact same thing where they teach you something enough times and it comes out. And it's how you tie. It's the scientific basis for like the Pavlovian response that a lot of people are kind of familiar with.
I think one of the things that needs to be, we need to be reminded of when we study history is that we can't take ourselves as people of the 21st century and put ourselves in the 18th century and assume that everybody has the same values that we might have, or that the social mores are the same as what ours have evolved to. If you're going to study history, you need to do it with the mentality of a time traveler. And you need to really...
Times were different.
Yeah.
Social
but those people didn't think exactly like us, so they were all evil. That's what I've heard.
Right. Well, let me refer you to Wikipedia now.
Oh, Lord.
Now, Wikipedia, you have to remember, is anybody that has access to the internet can edit it. But most millennials, I think, or a lot of them, some of our more highly educated college students of the day will rely on Wikipedia for so much. So I thought I'd just give you their definition of revisionist history. Revisionist history may refer to historical revisionism, the reinterpretation of orthodox views on evidence, motivations, and decision-making processes surrounding a historical event. Historical revisionism. Negationism, is that what it is? Either the legitimate scholastic reexamination of existing knowledge about an historical event, or the distortion of the historical record such that certain events appear in a more or less favorable light, or alternatively, in a particularly bad light.
Which is what we're getting a ton of now.
Right. So, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to tie this article that was written in 2001 to some current events that are going on around the country today.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Need floor covering but don't know where to turn? McDowell Floor Coverings in Havelock has everything you need. Friendly people to help with options so you get the look you want at a price you can afford. A large inventory, quick delivery on special orders, quality products, and 80 years of combined installation experience. All at McDowell Floor Coverings, 273 Highway 70 West, Havelock. Two things to ask about: the spring into summer sale and how you might win a $500 gift card. McDowell Floor Coverings, Highway 70 West, Havelock.
For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we've smoked with pecan wood, devil crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6.
Imagine your country decides to revolutionize itself and is greeted with worldwide praise and adulation for its new leader. What would you do when, under a generation later, infrastructure is crumbling and they are now on the verge of confiscating your family's farmlands that have fed the country for hundreds of years? This isn't some dystopian prediction. This is reality for Simon Roche. Come hear him speak Tuesday, August 15th at 7 p.m. in downtown New Bern at the Stanley Hall Ballroom, sponsored by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. More information online.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, as we told you before the break, we're talking about rewriting history. And I'd like to just start off saying the revisionist movement gained its momentum in the 1960s and the 1970s, when the notion of shared American values was shattered by domestic turbulence and unpopular foreign wars. Y'all lived through that. You remember those times?
Yep.
Yeah. I do very good.
I even have some memory of World War II.
Yeah, that's because you're an old feller. let's see. And that was, many historians concluded that the old Western civilization course was outdated and that its approach gave students a misleading view of history reflecting only American orientations. So what occurred, Lockhart wrote, was a paradigm shift in historiography that reflected the rapid changes of the post-World War II years.
How dare people be taught about the history of their actual civilization as opposed to some random persons or groups across the planet? It's not that it's nice to not nice to know about what's going on, but generally speaking, the history that affected where you and got as a civilization would take precedent. We understand that locally, every state in the union gets local state history as opposed to getting Texas history as, you know, a spoonful in North Carolina.
Well, in studying history where I went to school in Virginia, they called it U.S. history, and we used to laugh and call it Virginia history because, you know, most of it was things that had happened in Virginia. Of course, a lot of American history did happen in the earlier days in Virginia, but it was kind of interesting that it had that slant on it.
I had a really interesting experience in that I moved from Richmond, Virginia to Nashville, Tennessee, and had 2.5 years in school there.
Tennessee history, huh?
Yep, you got it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on as far as revising our history and why that's occurring. We've talked a little last week, I believe, about Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky's book. Mm-hmm. And one of their things in that is to do away with our history.
Yeah.
To do away with our culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that's happening right now is the South and the Civil War are being rewritten. It's no longer about states' rights. It's about slavery. Well, I've got two names for you, Frederick Douglass and Jefferson Davis. Frederick Douglass is the black man who's generally thought to be the person who talked Abraham Lincoln into the Emancipation Proclamation. He did not meet Abraham Lincoln until the summer of 1863. It was after much conversation that this sales job was done. So it was well into the war before the Emancipation Proclamation was written. At the end of the war, Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederacy, was imprisoned. He tried and tried and tried to get a trial. He was unable to get a trial because it was feared that he would be able to sell the idea in court that the states who created the Union had every right to withdraw from the Union.
Right.
That the South was on firm ground. It was about states' rights, self-determination. That's what it was about to Southerners.
Well, Rainer, I think it's a bigger picture than that. I don't think it's really about rewriting the Civil War history. I think they care less about the Civil War history. The bigger picture is removing our history.
They want to remove all history.
Right.
But
right.
I think
this is a convenient.
This is the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
But
it's convenient.
Substituting an evil view of the South. Right. We should be ashamed of
what
ourselves.
They
but we don't have. We have some things to be ashamed of, yes.
But what are they associating it with?
Slavery.
Racism.
Yes.
Racism.
And
they know if
racist.
They can use the word racism, they can get all this support.
Because everybody runs scared from anything that could possibly, and how dare you possibly give any sort of defense to anyone who could be labeled a racist.
Let me do that. I asked my wife, when this first started and we were watching the news, I said, honey, when you see a Confederate monument, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? She said, Southern pride. I said,
I'm with Ann.
Right. Nothing to do with racism. Same with me. I cannot ever recall seeing a Confederate flag or a Confederate monument or anything like that, that my first thoughts or any of my thoughts lean towards racism.
No.
There's another aspect of this, too. The South is probably the last stronghold of traditional values in America, the South and the Midwest, in terms of faith, family, honesty, things like that. They are the blocks to the kind of thinking that goes on in New York and California taking over the country. So if the left, the political left, can destroy the ambiance, the history, the culture of the South, that's a major roadblock.
It's one of the last roadblocks. And it's also a sense of being proud of where you're from.
Right.
Yes.
The idea that where you're from matters, the people you were around matter, and you have roots in this area that matter to you because you have history of your people that have been in this area for generations.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be people who fought in a war there or people who, you know, fought in three wars there, in the case of some families that fought in the Revolutionary War, mm-hmm. the War of 1812, and the Civil War. You know, there are people who have lived for most of their life in the Pacific Northwest, but have proud North Carolina roots, and have talked about the fact that they had two or three generations fight, you know, as civilian militia for mm-hmm. the protection of North Carolina.
In Rayner's family, a father was a surgeon during the Revolutionary War, and his son was a surgeon during the Civil War.
Exactly.
All officers.
And they're told that because it doesn't align with what wasn't the motivation for the war at the time, it was basically copy-pasted, plastered over so they could sell it for public relations purposes, that because of that, one person's service was of value and the other person is evil and has to be demonized and removed from any sort of place.
So you're saying that they're really very selective in what history they want to remove. I mean, I don't hear any great effort to remove Robert Byrd, the Grand Wizard of the KKK. I don't hear any great effort to remove his name from the highways in West Virginia or to do any of that. I mean, they should even destroy the highways. They should rip up the bridges and
if
destroy the highways.
If sexual assault was a value that the left cared about, we'd remove Bill Clinton's history. So let's stop pretending that we don't have to be coy even.
So
if the left had any didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have any standards. But that's something that you can get into a variety of other problems.
It goes further back than the Civil War, and one of them that really troubles me is that Rayner and I were students in Charlottesville, and people who would come to visit, we always went to Monticello or Monticello, whichever way you want to pronounce it. We went up there a number of times over the years. Well, the most recent time, we were going up there with some grandchildren, and I noticed such difference in the way the plantation was presented. And they had slaves out in the yard and out back there, and they were laundering clothes and doing various things. That was interesting to me. And I thought, well, maybe this really looks more like the old plantation did when Thomas Jefferson was here. But now you're hearing in the news that people are criticizing Thomas Jefferson, wanting to knock down statues to him and deface him and things like that. And to me, you know, Thomas Jefferson, he did so much for this country. I mean, religious freedom and the education at the University of Virginia, the person who wrote the
Declaration
of Independence. I mean, and then you go back and criticize a person like that and want to demean them because in their day and time, most anybody of means had some slaves.
Right. And, you know, what really gets me, you talking about double standards, Michael, is the judgment here. Okay. They're always preaching, the left is, you should not judge. Don't judge. Don't judge. Okay, what is this?
They reserve the right to judge to themselves.
Because
they've
created a new morality around whatever political issue it is that they have decided to take on at the time. If you have any sort of compunction about any particular thing they are trying to sell at that moment, then they will make that you're an evil, hated person.
Right.
And they will rewrite. Sometimes they don't even rewrite. They just reinforce whatever laws they find convenient, and that's why some of the conflicts that we've had happen have started to bubble up, because the rule of law only applies to the rules they like.
Right. And they're masters at changing our language. They take words that mean one thing, and they change them into totally meaning something different.
Well, that's why Mark Zuckerberg this past graduation season talked about how equality has to be redefined every generation.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually, you have people that had a somewhat fair concept 50 years ago, still hearing the word with a completely different version where equality now means privilege.
Right.
I want to go back to something Michael said about only enforcing the laws that you choose to enforce. One of the things that happened during the Obama administration with the Justice Department, when the new Black Panthers were preventing voters from voting in Philadelphia.
With baseballs.
And they had videos of it. There was no question as to what was going on.
And they were dressed pseudo-military.
Yes.
Black.
And the Justice Department did not prosecute. I believe they dropped the case eventually. And the comment was made that it is impossible for a Black person to violate a white person's civil rights. And that's ridiculous.
Of course it is.
A civil right doesn't have a color, either being exercised or prevented. But the whole theory of the Justice Department was that it was impossible for the civil rights of white people to be denied.
Well, that was part of the whole new redefinition of racism and, you know, bigotry and all these things, because they had used moderately neutral language for several years to sell it to a variety of people and got a reasonable consensus amongst Americans on how it would be enforced. But then suddenly, because of the nature of identity progressive politics, a lot of people who were white decided, hey, this affirmative action and some of these other taxation programs and whatnot aren't actually fair in the sense of what the government says about being neutral to based on race. And about that time,
it's giving preferential treatment.
Exactly. And about the time we started being able to articulate those arguments forcefully, they decided they had to tie it to historical power and historical privilege and all these other historical things. Yet they want a completely ahistorical world when it comes to anything traditional, except for guilt.
We're talking about revisionist history and how our history has been changed and is being changed. But that's not the only thing in our culture that's being changed, like you're pointing out here. Many other things are being changed also.
You know, I think we ought to admit that there's a lot of wrong done in the past.
There is.
Yes, and we know about it.
But you could at least you should at least be able to have an honest conversation about it, as opposed to shut up and, you know, listen to what we say.
Yeah.
You can't have an honest dialogue if the answer is everything you did was evil.
Right.
Well, and how can you hold people of today accountable for what happened in the past?
That's ludicrous.
Yeah. You know, I've never mistreated or in any way tried to mistreat a minority. I've never owned a slave. I've never done anything that I feel like I owe reparations for. However, I'm lumped into this just because of my color and just because of my political leaning, being a white conservative. I'm lumped into this group of I must be a racist. I must be a hater. I must be a bigot. I must be,
but that's not right, and it's not logical.
Right. The only group that you're allowed to judge collectively is white men, is what it really comes down to. If they should happen to choose to think that they might have some sort of group political activity, that's evil and wrong. But any other form of identity politics is great and acceptable.
Now, let me clarify something here. We're not generalizing all minorities feel that way. They don't.
That the left has articulated that idea and tried to split people into smaller and smaller minority groups and convince them to have a chip on their shoulder.
I have many minority friends.
Me too.
I've worked with many minorities, and you know, the military will tell you when they're in the foxhole, it doesn't matter
who's got your back.
Won't have it right till all of our society feels exactly the same way.
Here's the problem, though, and this is a big, big problem. You have two parties in a government right now. One side is playing almost exclusively to an identity politics narrative, and the other side is being told by both their own party and the other party that they should be forbidden from playing with an identity politics narrative. And at the same time, all parts of the government are encouraging more and more immigration of people that fall into the identity politics groups. The idea that you would have
that down.
we can check. It might be slowing down. It's not slowing down enough whenever you look at some of the Numbers USA presentations. If you look at the fact that everybody is expected to continue to cheerlead the fact that the country will be majority-minority by 2042 or 2044, depending on the model, if one side is okay with identity politics and the other side's not, and both parties are playing this is the future of America, what's going to happen electorally? You have essentially unilateral disarmament on one side, and the other side gets to keep playing. Try convincing a pro-Second Amendment person that the government says they'll take care of you and you should give up your guns. Trust us. It'll be fine.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, we'll take care of you. Whenever the other side's playing by a completely different set of rules. It's a ludicrous argument, and it's dangerous if you want to consider the fact that you would like everybody to play, as Rayner said, by the same set of rules. Yet, at what point does that kick in?
But wait a minute. There can be a set of rules that works for America as America for Americans, and it does not have anything to do with race. It has to do with background of people, education of people, people who appreciate things like our Declaration.
But you're a Nazi for just even saying that.
No, I am not, and you know I am not.
But that's the narrative. That is exactly that.
Right. I will not accept it.
Well, guys,
there were people attacked this weekend in Portland, or excuse me, in Seattle, for trying to say exactly those same kind of things. There were people attacked at Trump rallies last year across the country, not because they were actually had any racial animus in them, but they were still called Nazis.
Right, folks. I think it's a bigger picture. Again, I'm gonna say it. It's bigger than that. It's a globalist attempt to change our. Cultures in our country.
We cannot throw up our hands.
Look at George Soros. Look at the organizations that one man is backing. Black Lives Matters, and there's a whole...
Through the Open Society, about 17 major NGOs throughout Europe that are pushing stuff, and he's pushing everything.
Pumping millions, billions of dollars into that
area. I recognize that dollars are important, but boots on the ground are important, too. If enough of us do enough, then we'll be impervious to
dollars. And that's why we're doing these shows, is to try to encourage people to
do that. The one group that I will generalize... is I will generalize, the media has gotten into the habit of asking complex questions like, when did you stop beating your wife? They ask the complex questions that a person, there is really no defense. They're asking people, well, do you not support Nazis? And when a person says yes, well, there, we have one Republican that doesn't support Nazis.
All right, we've got to stop here and take a break to hear from our sponsors, because it's very important that you know who they are. And please go out and visit them and tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
What do marine navigation systems, automatic firearms, diesel engines, and home-long sprinklers have in common? Force 5, that's what. Force 5 was created to stop weapons from jamming in sandy Afghanistan, but it can do a lot more. Force 5 solves marine and firearms problems caused by rust, salt water, and corrosion. To clean, lubricate, protect, get Force 5. Anything else is a waste of time. Call Ernie at 252-670-0728 or go to force5-marine.com.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. Amazing Blaze in Bridgeton is the place for all your propane or natural gas needs. Amazing Blaze sells gas grills, tankless hot water heaters, why heat water you're not using, gas appliances, and of course they sell propane gas. Amazing Blaze can handle your propane to natural gas conversions and appliance installation. And if you need your gas equipment serviced or gas logs cleaned and serviced, that's right up the alley of their experienced and capable service technicians. Family owned Amazing Blaze, 811 Highway 17 in Bridgeton. That's Amazing Blaze, Highway 17, Bridgeton. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, and I was negligent at the beginning of the show, so I'll do it now. Tonight, we have Michael with us. We have Rainer and Hal James, and we have Mary and Bob Griswold, and your host, Rick Hopkins. And we're talking about revisionist history. Our own governor here in North Carolina has declared he wants to get rid of all Confederate memorials, changing our history.
CCTA's Legislative Action Committee happened to be at the General Assembly the day that law that he wants to change.
Back in 2015, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It was in
committee, and they were not being able to get it out, and the leadership made a maneuver, put it in Michael Speciale's committee. Well, Michael got it out of there, and we went to the committee hearing the day that happened. It was a very interesting governmental process. He handled it very well, allowed everybody to speak their piece, but moved things right along and insisted on a vote.
Rainer, why don't you kind of tell everybody what that, the effect of that law was?
Well, the idea was, it was when, I think about the time Nikki Haley was getting rid of the Confederate flag.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they were concerned that when people get emotional, there is a rush to pacify whoever the loudest person
right.
is. So they wanted cooler heads to prevail. So the idea was that any time a historical monument, flag, plaque, whatever, there was a wish to remove it, they would have to come to the General Assembly and receive permission to move it, The General Assembly can move rather fast. They generally don't. And it would be an opportunity to simmer things down, have a real debate, and hopefully cooler heads prevail.
Right. Well, like I say, that's our governor's view right now is wanting to overturn that law and to remove all Confederate symbols.
He has a history of wanting to overturn things the people of North Carolina don't want to
right.
overturn.
However.
Where is he from? He doesn't sound like a North Carolinian.
Well,
was, just for the record, that was Senate Bill 22. I looked it up today, And it's very specific in terms of preventing the kind of thing that is going on. In
exactly.
And it's patterned after, if I remember the historical precedent, after the Virginia law, which is where the Charlottesville incident this weekend happened. And it's not uncommon if somebody has a law that works fairly well in a state that's sort of adjacent to you,
right.
You will pattern your law for that for legal purposes so that you have a uniform application and it's already been essentially vetted by lawyers for how the wording should go.
You'll find that there's governors and senators and mayors all over the country popping up wanting to do the same thing. Because, like you said, it's an emotional thing now, mm-hmm. and some
people
of them are trying to use it for political advantage
yeah.
or whatever.
Yes.
What's interesting to me, like you had the incident here in Durham mm-hmm. where a group went and pulled down one of the statues there. They're always talking about their civil rights, their constitutional rights. Do they not realize that what they did was vandalism? Okay. It was breaking law. How come it's okay to break the law if it meets your agenda?
It's not just their agenda. Here's
charges
the big
are pending
problem.
On those people.
On one of those people. Here's the biggest problem. What those vandals did was in full view of the local police department and the mayor, who gave the orders for how the police were to behave. Not they walked up and found it later and had to investigate. They watched it go down and chose to let them
right.
do it.
Well,
they tacitly gave them permission to do it because there's become this disturbing trend. Again, going back to the incidents at Trump rallies and all these other disruptions of free speech events, where if the leftist government, whether it be mayor, state, or whatever, up to the former president, if they choose not to act, they essentially hand off the ability to act to their unofficial actions with these IWW out of Durham and Antifa groups who commit the political will of the political powers.
You better
because they won't
that acronym. A lot of people won't recognize
the Industrial Workers of the World, a communist organization that works out of the Triangle here locally in North Carolina, that were active months ago trying to disrupt people who had legal permits in Graham and Alamance County. They were up in Charlottesville this past weekend, and they proudly proclaimed so on their Facebook page. And they were the ones in and around Durham, shockingly, because they've had people arrested from Duke University at these past events. And the city government allowed them to do their political will with no repercussions for violating a state law that by any means the governor should be ordering the state police to arrest them or at least open an inquiry into why they didn't enforce the law,
right?
Because
right.
it doesn't meet their political agenda.
Well,
there's a pattern
what,
of
there
that.
There was something really ugly about that. I watched a video of it. They not only drag the statue down, but then they begin kicking
and
yeah.
punching
on it like it was as if it were a live
but
human being that they intended
the idea
to kill.
That they
it
can
was
just
horrible.
The idea that they can just not enforce the law and let the mob enforce their will and get wash their hands of it. And that's exactly what happened in Charlottesville whenever you had the police being told to do one set of things because they'd gone through every legal loophole they could and the police couldn't stop them. The federal judge said this is a First Amendment case. And so they were like, all right, we'll just declare this illegal and we'll push them into, you can find the videos, push them into the disruptive crowd, cause violence, and then play this moral equivalency game that violence broke out.
No, it
magically.
It was
okay, well, there's a pattern of this. The precedent has been set. Look what happened at Berkeley. They were told to stand down there and allow that to go on. People were hurt and hurt badly there. Let's look back at the previous administration you mentioned. Immigration laws, just totally ignored. Don't enforce them. Don't enforce the immigrant. That was from the President of the United States.
He intended to do his harm. Right.
So the President is saying there's no difference between a legal immigrant and an illegal immigrant.
Right. The law is what I feel like it is because it meets my agenda.
Right.
And whether it be Sacramento, California, Anaheim, California, Berkeley, Arizona, a variety of incidents up and down Seattle and Portland, and the other incidents that were smaller in Indiana, Chicago, and a variety of other places where they had to cancel not anything edgy, just political-based events. You aren't allowed to have it if the local powers decide they don't want you to have it. They'll just back off their police and let these unorganized people do exactly what they want.
Yeah. Well, you know, it all boils down to one thing, and that's a loss of our values, our morals. Our moral compass has been eroded.
Well, we got to get them all back.
Well, that's right. But first, we have to recognize what the problem is.
True.
Okay.
We have one side that doesn't care. That's part of the problem.
That's right.
Well, I remember the old J.C. Creed I used to take, and it said that we believe in a government of laws rather than of men. And if we don't, if we lose our ability to be a law-abiding country, then we've lost everything.
The problem is everybody sees this coming from one political party. The problem also becomes you have the other political party that, for expedience, people like Marco Rubio or even the Speaker of the House will decide, oh, well, I can't defend this other side because I don't like their views, so I will allow fundamental rights of free speech and assembly to be completely trampled upon. It's so inverted.
So you're going back to a government of people deciding what was right and wrong rather than having any law and order.
Either of them ever tries, if any of these Republicans who've been going out on their soapbox ever tries to portray themselves as a constitutionalist, they need to be mocked relentlessly. They should not one person who believes in or professes to believe in the Constitution being applied fairly as a governing principle for their political beliefs should ever believe another word from any of these politicians who hasn't said there was a group with a legal permit, there was a group that didn't have a legal permit, and the government of the city just decide, we'll do what we want. We don't want them to have this event.
The danger here is the attack on free speech.
Well, physical attacks on people are dangerous, too.
Well, that's a whole other thing. But, I mean, in terms of the danger to our Constitution, because I can see a point down the road where some of these events will be used to say, oh, well, you can't say that because you'll cause a problem. And I think the whole concept of hate speech is
that's what I was
going
to say.
At least to the heckler's veto.
You said free speech. Well, free speech has been redefined.
Yes.
Okay? It's what they want free speech to be. That's why you have free speech zones on campuses.
One of the things that bothered me.
We need to not buy that definition.
Right. We have to reject their paradigm at its core.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
One of the things that bothered me about the reporting of this incident, now the fact that this young man drove his car into people, regardless of the circumstances surrounding it, is horrible.
And
somebody
he needs to
died.
Be held accountable for it,
yes,
and suffer the consequences.
Yeah. But if you read the reporting, there was more emphasis on his ideological beliefs than his action.
It was almost like
he was being convicted of a thought crime rather than of the action that he was guilty of. And as far as I know, people have wrong thoughts. All of us don't get it right all the time. But having an idea that is a wrong idea is not a crime.
No, it's
acting
not.
On it in some circumstances, depending on what you do, could be a crime. But
you're driving a car into a human being.
The problem, though, is they've conflated to where if you've committed a thought crime, presumption innocence now doesn't matter. They have completely gotten rid of the factual basis of what happened and what was the physical reality on the ground as it happened.
And focused on the thought crime.
Because let's all stop pretending that there haven't been copious incidents the last 6 months of people being yanked out of cars and attacked for political reasons.
Yeah.
You know, and to say that that couldn't have informed this person's state of mind in a hectic, crazy environment. Caused because the authorities decided to create it.
And panic. But the thing that, I mean, when we talk about hate crimes, which is a word that drives me nuts, if you murder somebody, they're dead. If you murder somebody in a hate crime, they're still dead. They're not more dead because you hated them than they were.
Right. The fact that they're assigning extra evil to it based on your state of mind, as opposed to strictly speaking the facts of what happened, where you're already creating preferential class treatment under the law where it's supposed to be applied equally.
And it's wrongheaded. We need to back off of it.
Right. Well, we need to take another break real quick and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we've smoked with pecan wood, devil crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6.
Imagine your country decides to revolutionize itself and is greeted with worldwide praise and adulation for its new leader. What would you do when, under a generation later, infrastructure is crumbling and they are now on the verge of confiscating your family's farmlands that have fed the country for hundreds of years? This isn't some dystopian prediction. This is reality for Simon Roche. Come hear him speak Tuesday, August 15th at 7 p.m. in downtown New Bern at the Stanley Hall Ballroom, sponsored by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. More information online.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
What do marine navigation systems, automatic firearms, diesel engines, and home-long sprinklers have in common? Force 5, that's what. Force 5 was created to stop weapons from jamming in sandy Afghanistan, but it can do a lot more. Force 5 solves marine and firearms problems caused by rust, salt water, and corrosion. To clean, lubricate, protect, get Force 5. Anything else is a waste of time. Call Ernie at 252-670-0728 or go to force5-marine.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Hal, you had something you wanted to interject?
So much concern these days about when somebody has committed a crime. Everybody starts, well, what was the motive and what made them do it? Well, I guess maybe they're trying to find a way to keep other people from doing the same crime or something. But when you definitely know somebody killed somebody or did some other crime, to me, they deserve to be punished.
Right.
Their motive is one thing. Maybe you want to look into it for one reason or another, but he still needs to be convicted of that crime and paid for it.
Right. I think I know where you're going, and I agree with that. But so I think what's happening in society today, because of all this racial divide and all this strife that's been created, that automatically you're presumed, like a police officer stops a black subject, and it ends up in the black subject getting shot. Automatically, it's assumed by some that it was just because he was black that he got shot. You know, and recently you just saw where the video, the suspect is pulling a gun out of his pocket and shoots the officer. Both of them were black in that incident, but, you know, still, they don't go for the facts to prove innocence or guilt. They just presume automatically based on race or some other criteria.
And since when did you have to improve intent to do something if it's a crime?
Yeah.
No, do you remember that one not too long ago?
Well, let me jump off here. We were talking about the monuments being torn down and all. And today I was thinking it reminds me of a movie that we watched at CCTA. I had watched it and then we watched it there. And the name of that movie is Monumental. It was made by Kirk Cameron. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to mention it several times here because I want you to remember it. And I want you to go out and watch it. You can find it on Netflix and Amazon, probably even YouTube, I don't know. But the name of the movie is Monumental, and it was Kirk Cameron. And it's the story of America's beginnings. And it's about a monument that I guarantee you most Americans know absolutely nothing about.
I know the one you're talking about.
And Kirk Cameron, he traveled across the United States and Europe, putting together the history of the our forefathers that came across, the sacrifices they had to make, the reasons they left Europe and came here in the first place, the struggles they had when they got here, and what our country, how it actually began, what it was based on, the founding principles, all that. And this monument, you'll be amazed when you find out that it still exists. And maybe I shouldn't be saying anything about it because I don't want it torn down. But, but you really need to watch this because it reveals a lot about the history of the United States and its beginnings and the people that actually were responsible for its beginnings.
You know, you're saying that. You bring something to my mind. Part of the solution, or maybe the root to the solution to the problems that we have, all this divisiveness and so on, is if we all direct our mindset to making America a land of opportunity one more time. That's what people came for. They didn't come for handouts. They didn't come for ease. They came for an opportunity to build the life of their dreams, to create something for themselves and their children.
But therein lies the problem, what we start talking about to begin with, revisionism. Opportunity has been revised. Opportunity now is
countering that today.
Opportunity now is you come across the border, and the opportunity is welfare, free medical care, free education. That's opportunity that's being
changed by the current administration.
Right.
We need to go with that.
You,
we need.
It's going to take time to get
help. Make the focus where the focus needs to be.
It's going to have to be. Everybody responds to economic incentives. It's why anybody's family came here in some way, but it's a matter of what economic incentives they are coming to. In a lot of people's cases, there wasn't anything, but they didn't have anything in the old world, you know, as far as
but
in Europe.
But they did see it, a possibility.
They had the possibility to build it,
right,
to get something. There was nothing implied that was going to be given for free to anybody, and there are a lot of people who starved and died because they didn't figure it out or work or whatever, or they had some utopian fantasy that when it hit reality, came crashing down.
Sure.
The idea that now you can come across and just be given something and that that be in any way equivalent to sacrifice is why you have a complete difference.
Did make it.
Right. And let me interject my opinion on this right now.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that is the people that are coming here legally have the morals and the ethics, and that's what they're looking for is an opportunity. They want a chance to succeed. And that's why they come here legally. The ones that are coming illegally, they're not coming here to succeed in most cases. Okay, well, we've had a good long discussion today on revisionist history. I Hope you got something out of it, and hope we didn't upset and offend too many people. But if
let
we
us
did,
know in the comments on the webpage.
That's right. If we did, please go to cctaxpayers.com. Click on the comments tab there, feedback tab, contact tab, any of those, and let us know. And then click on the donate tab. We sure need your support. So please join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call, and please visit our sponsors.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
There's something for everyone at Stingray Cafe in New Bern. For the seafood lover, there are oysters, shrimp, scallops, clams, crabs, snow crab legs, and a wide variety of fish. Not in the mood for seafood? How about a salad, a burger, beef brisket, or some good old hickory smoked barbecue? There's even a menu section for folks 10 and younger. Open 7 days a week to Stingray Cafe on South Front Street in New Bern, just across the street from the History Center.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Need floor covering but don't know where to turn? McDowell Floor Coverings in Havelock has everything you need. Friendly people to help with options so you get the look you want at a price you can afford. A large inventory, quick delivery on special orders, quality products, and 80 years of combined installation experience. All at McDowell Floor Coverings, 273 Highway 70 West, Havelock. Two things to ask about: the spring into summer sale and how you might win a $500 gift card. McDowell Floor Coverings, Highway 70 West, Havelock.
Amazing Blaze in Bridgeton is the place for all your propane or natural gas needs. Amazing Blaze sells gas grills, tankless hot water heaters, why heat water you're not using, gas appliances, and of course they sell propane gas. Amazing Blaze can handle your propane to natural gas conversions and appliance installations. And if you need your gas equipment service or gas logs cleaned and serviced, that's right up the alley of their experienced and capable service technicians. Family owned Amazing Blaze, 811 Highway 17 in Bridgeton. That's Amazing Blaze, Highway 17, Bridgeton. The CCTA appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend, and S&D Gun and Knife Shows. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Stingray Cafe, South Front Street, New Bern, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55, Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret Counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Manette's Grocery, Force 5 Marine Saltwater Corrosion Inhibitor. Join us again next week at this time for your wake-up call from the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, online at cctaxpayers.com.